afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, August 22nd, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How are you doing today? It's Monday again. I know you're excited.
Yes, it is. Didn't I just talk to you?
It seemed like about 2 hours ago,
didn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like about 2 hours ago. I mean, the days go by so quickly, and weekends fly by faster than the rest of the day. So
that is very, very true. So we should go to a four-day work week. How's that?
I'm ready.
I am too.
Why don't we just work weekends, take the rest of the week off?
Why don't we go to a three-day work week?
Yeah, or two-day. I'm happy with that even. Oh, wow.
Oh, well, here we are. So we're really confusing the listeners now. So, well, gold was working today, but not very well. It needs a day off. And, again, it's the dollar strength, and we're showing gold weaker by $12 at $1,736. Silver was down 8 cents at 19.08. Platinum was down 19 at 887. Palladium was down almost 7% at 2,068. USDX today, drum roll, almost 109. I mean, it really is incredible to see these numbers and the dollar rise. But you got to remember, folks, they need it in order to get those prices a little lower. And I think you'll see a stronger dollar through the election. So you're looking at the dollar at 108.96. Crude oil was down 10 cents at 90.67. Paper markets today, well, you know, the Dow slumped 600 points today. It's the worst day since June. And 642 points, to be exact, 33,064. The S&P was down a little over 2%, 4,138. The NASDAQ was down 2.5%, 323 points at 12,381. All the Asian markets were negative except China. They were high, but just barely higher. Europe was all negative. 10-year yield did pump back up over 3%, 3.031. And let's see what natural gas again was up almost 5%, 4.77, 4.75 at 9.781. And, you know, so many of these things, you know, but I know we're going to talk about job losses, but I just want to bring this one in real quick. Ford Motor, they're cutting 3,000 jobs from its global workforce. This is and the majority of them are in the United States and North America. Now, the cuts will include 2,000 salaried positions and 1,000 agency jobs in the U.S., Canada, and India. The Ford chair, Bill Ford, and the CEO, Jim Farley, said in an email to the employees, and that email was obtained by CNBC. Now, 3,000 jobs, when you're really looking at how many that they hire quite a few. So they employ about 31,000 salaried workers in North America. So, you know, 3,000 isn't all that much. But I think the importance, but this is the beginning of layoffs. Because under Farley, now he became the CEO in October of 2020, and he said Ford is going through a massive transformation of the company, and that they plan to cut $3 billion in structural costs by 2026 while investing billions to expand its electric and commercial vehicle businesses. So, you know, our government signs the inflation fighting bill, supposedly, with billions of dollars going to these manufacturers to help them build electric vehicles. So, I mean, it's just, where is the sense in it all? He says, we work differently than in the past, examining each team's shifting work statement connected to our Ford Plus plan. We are eliminating work as well as reorganizing and simplifying functions throughout the business. And, folks, that is robots. That is technology. That is what they're reorganizing, simplifying functions. How do you simplify functions unless it is through robots, robotics, technology? So this is what they're doing. And I had another article here, Butch, about, you know, everybody's clapping their hands that all these companies are beginning to open up these, bringing back jobs to America. Well, let's take a look at that. All these jobs, they might be building factories, but they have to find a way to cut their employment costs. And they're going to do that with technology. And they're getting our government to pay for it. Because they're all involved in this expanding the electric vehicles and batteries. And it just drives me crazy. Because people just don't get it that we're paying for our own destruction.
Our own destruction. Yes, we are.
And people think, oh, well, it's really good that we're all concerned about our climate. And this is just advancement. This is, you know, an investment into America's future. And, yeah, some people will be hurt by it. It's like,
well, you watch all this happening. And you remember what Klaus Schwab's advisor, Harari, said, that the average person will become redundant? That when he replaces with AI, he said, they won't need us any longer. Well, guess what? You said it. Robots taking over. So you just confirm what he said. When they go to making everything with robots, what good are we?
Absolutely. And that's what these manufacturers are going to do. So you can rejoice in thinking that, you know, Biden did a great job in signing all this, you know, to bring companies back to this country. But you're paying for it. These billion-dollar companies have to get handouts from the U.S. government. Handouts from you to bring their businesses back. And then it will be technology. So you don't even get a chance to get a job to pay for it.
It is frustrating. I mean, it really is. You see this stuff happening. Wonder, is anybody paying attention? Does anybody really understand what's going on? I mean, is this so foreign to us that we can't think beyond what they say? I mean, how many times have they promised us a rose garden, so to speak, and we woke up in a bed of thorns? You know, so that's what they're saying right now. All these promises are shallow, as they ever are. They always are. You know, I have a cartoon here I want to share very quickly. You've heard of course, you know Charlie Brown. Everybody knows Charlie Brown, right? You still with me?
Yes.
And Peppermint Patty. You know Peppermint Patty, of course.
Yes, I do.
Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. Well, they're sitting there with their backs against a tree, talking. And Peppermint Patty said, "Do all fairy tales begin with once upon a time?" And Charlie Brown answered, "No. Many of them begin, if I'm elected, I promise."
Yeah, I saw that.
That's the same thing we're seeing now. You know, he's going to bring back companies to the U.S. There's always a catch in it. It seemed like we never learned to look for the hook in the bait, but there's a hook there. And when we have to pay for it, taxpayers pay for it, there's a double hook there. We pay for it to our own demise, as you said. So I don't know, Melody, will we ever learn? Doesn't look too good right now, does it?
No, because all they do then is hire, 87,000 to come get it from us?
Yep.
You know? Yep. And it's just like, that should scare anyone. It should scare anyone. But
whenever you watch a video of the newly elected IRS agents going into what they call a sitting up, where they go in and it's a knock on doors, kicking the door type scenario, going in with guns drawn on criminals. This is the IRS, not the cops, doing this. It should make you wonder what this is all about. Why are they doing this? What are their plans for the future? Who are they going to need to do this on? That's another question. Who are they going to use it on? Who's going to be the ones that are such drastic tax evaders that they need to pull guns on them and arrest them? Who would that be? I know it's going to be the corporations. Because they're going to find out they've been ripping people off for years. Going to go in and arrest the head of PepsiCo. No, sweetheart. It's going to be you and me. and little businesses like maybe we would run that are maybe a little bit too conservative for their viewpoints. Oh yeah, it happened with the Tea Party. It'll happen again. So yeah, get ready, folks. It's coming. It's, as a matter of fact, it's well started.
And you know, it's amazing. And I will, you know, it is those who think that it's good to go out after these wealthy corporations for more taxes, and they believe that that's a good thing. Why would it? They just can't see past. It's not. It doesn't gain anybody anything except for them and those in Washington who get it passed and get payments from it and so forth. And it's just like, no, it's not going to do anything.
No, it's not.
So, but they think this is a good thing to go after the wealthy. It's like, how do people really believe that that happens?
Well,
it boggles the mind.
It does.
At least it boggles mine.
When I was a lot younger and a lot more ignorant than I am now, and I don't mean that in a bad way, because all of us are ignorant, we have to learn. I thought, well, taxing the wealth is a good thing. Tax the rich. Now, let us common people alone. It sounds good. But I got to looking into it, it never works. What they tax them for, we end up paying.
Well, you go after the wealthy. They've got the attorneys. They've got all this. They got all that to fight and so forth. What's the little guy got? Nothing. So that's where that's where they go. That's where they get the money. You know, it's just. But yeah, taxing the wealthy doesn't work.
Well,
never will.
You and I can't afford boards of lawyers to fight this. We can't afford it, and they know that. So they come after the little guys and let the big guys be, because they end up tied up in court for years, even if they didn't win. Until they spend all the money that they already lost it and what it cost to battle it. So they don't bother them too much. It's usually guys like me and you that can't afford to hire high-pressure lawyers to handle these situations. That's just the way it is. So we don't have to like it, but it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm finished.
I want to say that I don't want to share a couple of articles here that I guess I knew about. I wasn't catching it all the way, but this is one of them about Wayfair. Everybody knows who Wayfair is, right?
I do.
Wayfair is laying off 5% of its workforce. You would think it'd be picking up now, but it isn't. More layoffs are here, even in the face of the latest super duper jobs number that we swear does include people taking on their second or third job just to make ends meet and catch up with inflation. Wayfair just became the latest in a long line of companies to power back its workforce, announcing this morning that it was going to cutting labor by 5%. In a Form 8-K filed on Friday morning, the online retailer discussed the layoffs amidst other cost-cutting measures. Wayfair announced a workforce reduction involving approximately 870 employees, connection with its previously announced plans to manage operating expenses and realign investment priorities. The filing continued. This reduction represents approximately 5% of our global workforce and approximately 10% of our corporate team. Concurrently, the company is in the process of making substantial reductions in the third-party labor costs. The company said it was going to take between approximately $30 million and $40 million of costs in Q3 2022 as a result of the layoffs. These layoffs come a year after reports that Amazon was playing with a premium service that lets customers have furniture or appliances assembled as soon as they arrive at their homes. Recall, we wrote a piece just days ago helping our readers visualize all the latest major layoffs in U.S. corporations. We know that in June 2022, Insight Global found that 78% of American workers feared they would lose their jobs in the next recession. Additionally, 56% said they aren't financially prepared, and 54% said they would take a pay cut to avoid being laid off. Now, 54% or 56% say they aren't financially prepared. That sounds low to me. I would think more than that are not financially prepared to do that. I don't know that. But how many people seriously are listening to our voice could stand to do without a paycheck for 6 months or even a couple months? It would hurt me tremendously. What did you, Melody?
Well, I like my paychecks.
Well, you know, that's obviously... whenever you're making it, thank God you are. But when things are tight and you still make it, praise God for that. But when you miss a couple months pay coming in for whatever reason, you're going to feel it, aren't you?
Well, yeah, of course. anyone would, unless you're retired.
Even retired, if something happened to the check coming in, and that could happen, right. As you know, as well as I know, this could happen.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, they're discussing it already, so we're not talking about something that hasn't been discussed. It's been discussed already. I don't like it, but it is what it is. They're discussing it, so we'll move on from there, but I just want to share that. I thought it was kind of odd, the Wayfair. But now, this article says half of companies planning layoffs or hiring freezes. A concerning survey of 700 U.S. executive reveals that half of them are either actively reducing headcount or plan to, while 52% have implemented hiring freezes, according to Bloomberg. A survey conducted last month by consultant PwC also found that more than 40% of executives are rescinding job offers, while a similar amount are reducing or eliminating sign-on bonuses that were all the rage amid the tight job market just months ago. On the bright side, around two-thirds of companies are boosting pay or expanding mental health benefits, and 70% are planning to make remote work options permanent, though at the same time, 61% said they're requiring staff to be on the site more often, which can happen at the same time depending on the job. So anyway, we're looking at good things and bad things here. But if they're doing a hiring freeze, I still don't know where they got those numbers from last month, those job numbers. From what I'm reading, it doesn't add up. That so many more jobs were created in this market. And what kind of jobs were they, really? Were they fast food jobs? I mean, thank God they're there, but they're not the job that people generally plan on retiring on. So I have to ask those questions. Were the job numbers maybe concocted to sound better than what they really were? I don't know. What do you think, Bildy?
Well, I think you'll see in this next. I think you're going to start seeing those numbers decline come, I don't know, September, October. We still have August, which is still a high vacation. People are off. People are out doing things. Gasoline prices have come down. So they are out there, you know, doing with a little bit better than what they were doing. So I don't know when we'll see the impact of the layoffs, but so who knows? We don't know anymore, and that's the problem. We don't know what comes out of the D.C. with all these stats and so forth, and you know. But you know, sometimes one and one does not equal two, and it doesn't matter what numbers they give you. It just doesn't add up.
It does not add up. It doesn't sound. Doesn't sound factual or truthful when you look at it in the way it should be looked at. It's like inflation rates. We know.
But do you know what is truthful? Do you know what is truthful?
And we're going to break.
We are, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Okay, I need to not work. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we do got some good prices in. I mean, hey, silver's teetering around $19, a low $19, premiums and silver eagles, but you can still get nice silver rounds and so forth at a good price. So, and gold price really is the buy. The premium isn't as much as silver, and everybody needs gold. Stick to the fundamentals, and there's so much stuff that I'm hearing. It's just really unbelievable, you know, as far as, you know, people wanting to trade this for that, and just because somebody's listening to somebody's pitch. Be careful. You don't want to trade. You know, don't create premiums for yourself. There's times when you trade and times when you don't. So if you're thinking of trading, give me a call and I will tell you if it's a good trade or not. And I'll give you reasons, not just my word, oh, that's not a good trade, and then go on to something else. I'll tell you why, and then you can make that final decision. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
Okay. Well, I just thinking here about talking about making a trade. I was thinking about moving to Tijuana, and come back across the border and darken my hair and wear brown contacts, because I didn't get pretty good deals because once you cross border illegally.
I know.
We would have a maid. I don't speak Spanish too well, but I could say hello. But anyway, listen to this. Now, we know that Texas is shipping a lot of their illegals to New York and other places. Well, border crossers, illegals, folks. They don't want to use illegal anymore, but it's border crossers, illegal border crossers.
Immigrants.
When they cross in New York, are awarded health care, free cell phones upon arrival in New York City. Now, by golly, I never had free health care my whole life. On Sunday, as the New York Post reports, the city's hospital system held an event for arriving border crossers at a hospital in the Bronx where they were offered health care services along with free cell phones, food, library cards, and school supplies. Wow.
Aren't most of them too old to go to school?
Well, I'm glad that New Yorkers can afford to pay that. I'm glad they're that wealthy they can afford to pay all this. The event comes as Mayor Eric Adams estimates that in the last few weeks, Abbott has bused more than 4,000 border crossers to New York City as part of his plan to alleviate waves of illegal immigration to Texas by transporting new arrivals to sanctuary cities run by Democrats. In addition to free goodies from the city, thousands of border crossers are expected to be housed in luxury hotel rooms across Manhattan. Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a minute, too. They're going to be housed in luxury hotel rooms across Manhattan. Last week, Breitbart News reported that New York City officials are planning to house border crossers arriving on migrant buses in about 6,000 hotel rooms. This plan comes as rents for New Yorkers have skyrocketed. Likewise, New York City Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Catholic Charities, is working to enroll young border crossers in high-priced Catholic schools. Illegal immigration poses massive costs to American taxpayers annually. Every year, taxpayers are billed more than $143 billion to subsidize the cost of the nation's 11 to 22 million illegal aliens. So, wow. That, I mean, it's amazing how generous government is with our money. Gee. $22 glasses of champagne, $20 hand-stretched pizzas, and views of the New York skyline. Inside the $700 a night Manhattan hotel, that'll be home to migrants bused from the Texas border. But they'll be made to use a separate entrance to tourists. How racist can you get? Gee.
I know.
New York City will rent 5,000 hotel rooms to accommodate migrants arriving on buses from Texas, in addition to the 1,000 already announced by Mayor Eric Adams. Among the hotels giving over space to the city is a row in Manhattan's tourist hotspot of Times Square. Staff at the hotel, where rooms cost up to $700 per night, have been told migrants will have to use a separate entrance from the tourists paying top dollar for the NYC experience. Sources say up to four floors of the 28-story building will be handed over to the City Department of Homeless Services to set up as a hub in the coming weeks, and although nothing is set in stone, the staffs are talking about it. The hotel boasts a communal workspace equipped with top-of-the-range Macs, a fitness suit, and a lounge bar with per pizza cost $20 and cocktails are up to $19 a piece. More than 4,000 migrants, many of whom are seeking asylum, have already arrived in the five boroughs in recent weeks, putting strain on the already overburdened shelter system. The city has not revealed the cost to the taxpayer, but a similar scheme to house the homeless during the pandemic cost $300 million. There's no way this cannot be intentional. There's no way this cannot be intended to cripple the U.S. There's no way. Financially, they're destroying us. They're overwhelming us with all these things. I mean, Melody, people my age and older, and a lot of them are a lot worse off than I am, can't find medical help because they can't afford it. And we're giving it to them free. Simply coming across the border as criminals, we're going to give them free cell phones, library cards, food, and medical care. Now, that is very neighborly, is it not?
Well, that was all part of the inflation bill, the fight inflation bill.
Yeah, exactly. Inflation reduction.
That's why he had to get that passed so he could give this free health care to them. I mean, it's just like, you know, they're staying in a 4-star hotel. And, you know, I mean, if the people in New York voted on it and wanted to do that, hey, but I'll guarantee you they didn't vote on it.
No.
And these are illegal. But they process them through their, you know, asylum, you know, to make them legal. And here they are. And the hotel, who knows, maybe they'll put them to work bussing. And cleaning up.
I seriously doubt that. That'd probably go against the federal regulations. You know,
probably.
I mean, they can't do that. Years ago, there's a Huttonsville prison that still exists in Huttonsville, West Virginia. It was a state prison, minimum security, I guess you could say, but they had the inmates outside. They raised their own food. They had huge gardens. Raised their own food in the gardens. They were allowed, you know, they worked outside. The ones that had good behavior allowed to go out and work. And yeah, they had guards watching them, but they were out working and producing their own food. And the inmates loved it. They got out of the prison. Well, they found out this was inhumane treatment, so they stopped that. And I never could figure out why it's inhumane for them to work in the garden and raise their food. When I had to do it when I was growing up, Dad made us work in the garden and raise our food. And we were prisoners. How does that work, Melody?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I figured for sure you'd have the answer on that one.
No, I don't. I'm a loss of words.
I mean, it's just amazing. And this has been years ago, so you imagine how much worse it's gotten now with the... with all the political correctness nonsense that's in this country today. It's, you know, it's just insane. So, anyway, I had to add that to the comment. Now, some overseas news, because this is going to affect us all. Largest UK port hit with massive strike, sparking supply chain chaos fears. Another link in the chain, at least slowed down. It's worldwide. It is affecting all of us. There's 2,000 members of the Unite Union at the port of Felixstowe in Suffolk Suffolk began a strike on Sunday morning over contract disputes to boost pay amid the highest inflation in decades. Industrial action at the Felixstowe in the UK's largest container is alarming due to the possibility that 8 planned days of strikes could disrupt already bruised supply chains. BBC News said Unite members rejected a 7% pay increase from Felixstowe Dock and Railway Company last week, which it said was under the current inflation rate. Yeah, it is. And they're not lying about that. Current inflation there is, they say, 18%. And we know ours is at least that much. From Unite's regional office, Miles Hubbard said very few people reported for work this morning. He said picket lines were growing Sunday, and there was even support from the public. Almost 2,000 workers have walked out of the jobs, the UK's largest container port, on the first day of the eight-day working strike. The country's busiest port, handling about 48% of all containerized trade, has about 2,550 workers, many of which operate cranes, drive trucks, and load and unload ships. Today's walk could paralyze the port. Yeah, the people are going on strike because their pay raises are not keeping up with inflation. Melody, if everybody went on strike because the pay raise wasn't keeping up, we wouldn't have any workers.
That's true.
Worldwide, no workers. And that's just the way it is. I mean, the inflation rate is much higher than they confessed to it to be in. But even at their confessed rate, the workers are losing 4 or 5% a month on pay raises. So they're not gaining ground at all, actually losing ground. You can't hold your own by backing up. You just can't do it. So I just thought I'd share that. Any comments on that?
No, because these prices for inflation are here, and they're here to stay. So they're not going to get any relief from lower pricing. And it's here. We've always had it. We've had inflation for decades.
Oh, yes.
Just decades. But they manipulated it, and they did save, and it made it look. But look what you've lost. You've lost jobs. You lost your purchasing power because they exported all those jobs overseas. You're going to find some factories coming back. I mean, hey, most of your green, your climate change corporations, they'll be coming back here because they're getting billions of dollars from the government. But the manufacturing of the trinkets that the people buy, they're not coming back here. They can't compete with the wages. So, you know, it's coming back, but not in a meaningful way. You know, I can't imagine what all these factories are going to come back to the U.S. and leave Vietnam, leave South Korea, leave India. Some might be leaving China, but some are staying. So, anyway.
Well, I just don't see them come back. You said I don't see them come back. When they're getting their production done at half the cost, why would they come back here?
Exactly.
Why would they come back
and,
here?
And again, that infrastructure bill, the inflation reducer. That's such a joke. But even on those electric vehicles, they all have to be made here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. How many of those are made in the U.S.? Well, that's why these, like Ford, will be turning to it so they can sell them and get those billions of dollars, and the people will be forced to buy from Ford. Don't you like to be controlled and told what to buy, when to buy, who to buy from?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that, and of course, everyone in this country can afford a $50,000, $6,000 car or two with a battery pack worth $25,000. We can all afford that, can't we?
Well, I mean, even they want to open up lithium battery manufacturing here. Where's lithium come from?
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Now, we've been shoved down a path I don't think we're going to like, but most people can't see it coming.
So they'll define what constitutes made in America. Well, like they did when the foreign cars were coming over. Well, in order for them to get certain benefits and subsidies and so forth, well, 60% had to be made here in America. Or this had to be made here in America. You know, and everything else came from everywhere else. So, you know, it's going to be the same thing. But,
no, America economically is over that way. There's no way around that. But back to more shortage on supplies because of inflation. Zinc aluminum smelters shuttered in Europe due to soaring power prices. We just read the plant in Kentucky shut down here a week or so ago because of these situations. Second round effects from Europe's astronomical power price increase are coming in hot and heavy, with both French and German one-year ahead baseload electricity prices hitting levels which mean only a handful of Europeans will be able to afford power in 1 year. Europe's energy crisis has claimed another victim in the power-hungry metals industry after Norsk Hydro said it planned to shutter an aluminum smelter in Slovakia at the end of next month. With aluminum one of the most energy-intensive metals to produce, I did not know that, by the way, the closure of the Slovakia facility adds to growing signs of stress in Europe's industrial economy as power prices surge to record highs. It's why Hydro and others are now moving to shut down plants entirely. The region had already lost about half of its zinc and aluminum smelting capacity during the past year. Many of its producers dialed back input. Hydro, Slovakia's major owner, said the closure was a response to the adverse conditions, including high electricity prices, which showed no signs of improvement in the short term. The smelter was running at 60% of its 175,000-ton annual capacity and would suffer substantial losses if it continued operating beyond 2022, the Norwegian firm said. On Tuesday, Hydro said production at another aluminum plant in Norway would be impacted by a strike starting August 22nd, adding to the strain on supplies. So the strike started today. So we're going to see probably an increase in aluminum prices. And aluminum is pretty popular substance, folks, anymore. About everything you look into, a lot of your canned goods, especially your soft drinks, all that. We're going to see price increase in that. And Melanie, speaking of price increases, every now and then we all buy the windshield washer fluid for the cars, right?
We buy what?
Windshield washer fluid for cars.
Yes.
Okay. And you and I both remember it was 79 cents a gallon. You know, I mean, remember those days. Well, just you buy 3-4 gallons, stock up on it. I bought a gallon yesterday. You know what a gallon windshield washer fluid is right now?
Probably $8.
No, not quite that bad. $4.49 plus tax. So $5.
Wow.
For a gallon windshield washer fluid, that was 69 cents a couple years ago. Now we don't. Everybody don't. Well, that's, you know, we don't think about washer. We don't use that much of it. But when I bought it, I bought some undercoatings for my truck. I know what that was, a can. I said, give me a gallon of windshield washer fluid. And I said, what was the price on that undercoating? And they told me that price is right on that. So the windshield washer fluid was what put the price up. Almost $5 for a gallon of windshield washer fluid. That was 79 cents a couple of years ago. So, folks, yes, this inflation is real. Now, you don't use a lot of windshield washer fluid, but it's just another and one more item that goes up in price. You got to pay for it, whether you like it or not. It's going up in price.
I just use water, Butch.
Well, you can't do it in the wintertime.
Well, that's true. But why not?
Why not? Okay. You'll figure it out. Try it and see.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, Butch.
All right. You're right, we're back. And I'm going to ask a question. I know probably most people have a pet, dog, cat, whatever, that they actually like. They become part of the family. I know Melody has one she just fell in love with. Her name is Ruby, right?
Well, her name is Ruby. There's days I love her and days, well.
I understand. I got one named Buddy. One named Buddy, and I wanted to give $5 for a dog whenever a guy dropped him off. I didn't want a dog, but somebody left him here.
I remember.
You remember that, and I've got at least $3,000 to $4,000 in him since then. So, but what are you going to do? They become part of the family, don't they?
They do.
I mean, they come in and they tell people, Buddy lets us live here. But anyway, they become part of the family, and you just, if you have a heart, you fall in love with them. You know, so this is kind of sad. A perfect storm, sharp rise in abandoned pets has cost of living skyrockets in UK. And I'm sure it's happening here, too. Matter of fact, I know it is. I knew a gentleman not too long ago that couldn't afford to pay rent, and where he lived, he had to move out, and he couldn't take his dog with him. He broke his heart. There's been a sharp rise in abandoned pets in the UK as the cost of living has skyrocketed, according to the Hope Rescue Centre in southwest Wales, which said it's received 300 calls in the last past 90 days from people who can't afford to keep their animals. Now, that would be hard. Maybe some people wouldn't bother at all, but I'd miss my dog. I really would. I mean, to have to give him up because I couldn't afford to feed him, that'd be kind of rough. Hope Rescue founder Vanessa Wadden said the situation was the worst the center has ever seen. According to the center, the abandoning of pets was caused by a perfect storm of increasing dog ownership during the pandemic, combined with surging rents and other costs of living. According to BBC, UK households bought 3.2 million pets the first year after the lockdown. Rolo, a one-year-old terrier, is one of the many dogs at the rescue center. He was bought by a dog warden as a stray, with very little known about his background. The center said although he is very friendly, he could be overwhelmed in some situations and needs a gentle approach. The center's owner and founder, Vanessa Wadden, said Rolo was one of the many and the situation was the worst that she's seen in 17 years. It's very dramatic. It's a perfect storm. We're having to turn dogs away, and that is the hardest bit. It is heartbreaking. So yes, and I do know, folks, and no one likes to think about this, but the dogs in the shelters, after a period of time, or animals of any kind, they cannot get rid of. They can't afford to keep that pum down. That pum sleep. No one likes to think about that, but that's the only humane thing they can do. You just can't let them sit around and suffer. That's just not the right thing to do. Any comments, Melody?
No. But there's lots of organizations out there, and I think more and more are popping up. And, you know, it truly is a sad situation. But, you know, sometimes dogs don't have to eat a whole lot. And depending on where you're living, you might be living in a place if you're down on your luck at that point in time, maybe the place you're staying won't accept pets and so forth. And so that's always a situation, too. So, but, you know, they don't eat a lot.
Well, if the eating's all they need, it'd be great. But they need other things, too. You know, that's a problem.
And I'll tell you, the health care is just, I mean, it's almost as expensive as people care anymore. It's very expensive.
It is, no doubt. No doubt it is. So it's just another thing in the sign of time that financially people love their pets, sometimes just can't afford to keep them. And I really hate that. I feel for him because that dog I named Buddy now is about 16 years old. And I named him Buddy because everywhere I go, he's there. Always was. Right on my feet. Had to be careful where I stepped. I mean, he was always there with me. That's why I got his name. But anyway, now back to some more news on the situation. Germany. Now, Germany's actually making some sense here. Germany to prioritize coal shipments across rail network over passenger trains amid the energy crisis. The latest sign lawmakers in Europe's industrial heartland are preparing for what could be a disastrous winter of reduced natural gas supplies from Russia and record high electricity prices, and his new proposal to prioritize Germany's rail network for the coal shipments over passenger services, according to Bloomberg, saying local newspaper Welt im Sonntag. Even though Germany has promised to eliminate coal-fired power generation in the coming years, the historic energy crisis has made it more dependent on coal than ever. That should tell you something, folks. Coal, now I don't care what people say about coal. There's lots of it about everywhere, and compared to rest energy, it's cheap. Economy Minister Robert Habeck recently said increased reliance on coal is bitter but necessary. And we must give our readers a spoiler alert. There's no way Germany will eliminate coal as a power source by 2030. If anything, we'll be more reliant on it than ever, unless it extends the life of its nuclear power plants. Priority is normally given to passenger transport in Germany, and timetables are geared toward it. As a result, there's a risk of chaos on the rails from making the change, Bloomberg said, citing the draft. So, this Germany's had learned a hard lesson. You depend on a foreign entity to supply your needs. You might have to suck it up, Buttercup, because they might decide to cut it off. And they did. And they are. Germany's going back to coal, which you shouldn't have left in the first place. Or incorporate maybe natural gas with it, but not make it the main carrier of energy in the country. Melody, you cannot exist for long. We have to depend on others to feed you, can you?
To feed you, to heat you, to provide energy for you, to provide prescriptions for you, your medications. They're too much of a bargaining tool and can be used against you. So
and you don't dare make him angry at you because you got to have as Germany there said, you know, we have black coal. I guess and then Russia and the Germany's part of the UK, of course, NATO, and I guess they had sanctions on Russia also, and it backfired on them. It's backfired in a lot of countries. Sanctioning Russia was not a good idea. Many nations are finding that out, folks. Russia's too big. They don't need us to survive. Between Russia and China supplying each other, they have endless resources to continue with this. So it's just amazing where this is going. Now, this is from Sweden. And again, we're talking about UK, and now we're talking about Germany, now we're talking about Sweden. Population will rebel. Swiss police chief fears social unrest from winter power shortages. Folks, it gets cold in UK. It gets cold here in the hills of West Virginia also. The Swiss government is preparing rapidly for the possibility of power shortages this winter with Jan Fulkiger, Secretary General of the Energy Directors Conference, warning that internal security then becomes a problem, arguing that the federal government had not yet recognized the urgency in this regard. In an interview with Swiss German language daily newspaper Blick, Freddy Fraser, the police chief of one of Switzerland's largest cantons, warned that people may revolt and resort to looting if the Alpine nation is hit by a severe energy crunch this winter. Imagine you can no longer withdraw money at the ATM. Now, folks, let this sink in. Imagine you can no longer withdraw money at the ATM. You can no longer pay with the card in the store or refuel your tank at the gas station. Heating stops working. It's cold. Streets go dark. It's conceivable that the population would rebel or that there would be looting, he said, and that country's authorities should be taking measures to prepare for such extreme scenarios. Exercises that were conducted in 2014 to prepare for a blackout scenario revealed major shortcomings, including lack of emergency generators for police, hospitals, and other critical infrastructure and services, he said. These shortcomings have been corrected in recent years. The police chief noted, adding rather ominously that now security forces are armed and the agency is even prepared to provide the Swiss with cash if they're unable to use cards in stores, given that relevant agreements with banks have been signed. Additionally, Fraser warned of looting. I don't want to paint the devil on the wall, but it's also been seen in environmental disasters that certain people have abused the situation to plunder unprotected objects. This could also be the case if the network is switched off, for example, in shops where there is something to buy. But he warned the federal government not to overstep its tyrannical orders preemptively and expected police support. I appeal to the federal government to only order measures that can be implemented, and above all, control. We certainly don't want become the son of police. Earlier, Werner Luckenbull, the head of Switzerland's electricity regulator, EICOM, complained that electricity is being used completely thoughtlessly and urged citizens to stock up on candles and firewood due to possible power outages in this country's winter. Stock up on candles and firewood. That's a very good idea. I would think a lot of people have already done that. We've always here in our home, Melody, keep a supply of lanterns, lantern fuel. We do have candles. We have batteries and backup for flashlights. I also have a wooden coal furnace to back up for heat if I need it. I have a propane heat if I'm good at that. I also have a heat pump. But I know it's, again, kind of redundant. I could use propane if I need to. I have the electric heat pump. But I have a wooden coal furnace for another backup. And so hopefully I won't need to resort to any of those things. And I also have a whole house generator that would help for at least a little while in an emergency. But I do feel comfortable knowing, Melody, that if everything shuts down, even electricity, I have enough solar power to run my furnace in the basement, keep my house warm. Isn't that a good thing?
It really is a good thing. And, I would think that most folks listening to this program, many of you out there probably have some sort of backup for various things. And if you don't, you better get going. But it's just common sense. To be a little bit prepared for these things. And, weather has been fairly mild here on the East Coast, but it can change on a dime. Look at the floods that, around Dallas had today. Look what went through Kentucky. And it always happens when you least expect it. That's life, isn't
mm-hmm.
it, Butch?
Mm-hmm. It is. Even China's having problems because they're having water shortages around electricity. They're talking about shutting down electricity to millions of people, folks. And the yuan is dropping because of that. Something to think about. Mm-hmm. One last article here I want to share with you before we close today, too. World Economic Forum, bless their hearts, suggests there are rational reasons to microchip your child. Why not? You do your pet. Why not your child? I'll be wrong with that. If you love your child, you're going to protect him, so you're going to microchip him. So they get lost, mm-hmm. you can find him. Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Makes me warm and fuzzy.
Exactly. The latest highly controversial technology policy that the World Economic Forum has set out to normalize is the idea of implanting tracking chips into humans. It wasn't that long ago that those speculating on the future of where this is happening would get dismissed as conspiracy theorists. But now the world elite's most vocal outlet is predicting that chip implants will eventually become just a commonality. And WEF makes a case that implanting chips in children can be viewed by parents as a solid, rational move. All this crops up in a blog post on the organization's website dedicated to the future of augmented reality, AR, and what is referred to as an augmented society. Wow, Melody. We're becoming part of an augmented society.
But you know what? The young people today, and there's even some older people that are really into technology and so forth, they'll welcome it. They'll welcome that.
Of course.
They'll think it's cool.
Of course they will.
They won't have to carry the phone around all the time. It'll be a lot easier. Convenience.
That's it, the convenience. Exactly right.
The devil's word, convenience. Who would have ever thought?
But putting a foreign material in your body so you can buy, sell, or trade sounds vaguely familiar to something in the Bible, does it not?
It does. How about
you know? And it's amazing how far we've come in the last 20 years on this technology. haven't been that many years ago, Melody, when cell phones were unheard of. We had bike phones in the cars. I remember the first one I had. I liked the bike phone. I still wish I had one. You know, you call and get a call, but that's all you do with them. Then it went into the little flip phones. Remember the little flip phones that the little things you use in Star Trek? You flip it open and talk to the ship. Remember that?
I do.
Well, now we got them now, only they're more advanced now. I mean, they're just amazing how much we've advanced in the last 20 years and foretold in movies for many years. So, yeah, why not? I mean, 1979 had a show about Star Trek, and I don't remember the name it was, but a man and a computer got married. They become one. Well, we're heading down that road right now. Why not get a chip where you can interconnect with your computer?
You can live forever.
Yeah, exactly. You go into the great mind, the universe, the cloud. You'll never die.
Never die.
Wow. That in itself sounds like hell to me. But this
is
amazing.
Isn't that true?
It is amazing. Well, I'm out of stories and about out of time. What do you want to add to it?
I just want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank all the listeners for being here, and I want to thank Todd. We can never forget about Todd. And I just want to thank everybody everyone for supporting Discount Gold and Silver Trading. So we'll be back tomorrow, and until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.